Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Tim McGarry, who is a comedian, an actor, and a member of the Hole in the Wall gang. But today Tim's going to tell us a wee bit about who is Tim McGarry, what makes him tick, and how he got involved in TV and radio. So Tim, thanks very much for agreeing to come and do our wee podcast with Belfast Men's Health Group. Tell us a wee bit about yourself, or your background,
no
your
problem,
influence.
Paul. Paul, first of all, can I say, how dare you ring me at 10 o'clock in the morning? I told you before, comedians, we don't get up before midday. We're nocturnal. We work at nights, and you rang me at 10. That's why I said, you rang me and I didn't answer the phone. I went, oh, bloody hell, it's 10 o'clock in the morning already. I'm half asleep, mate.
Sorry about that.
So listen, thank you very much for having me on the program. I've done a couple of things for men's health before, and it's a really good cause, and I'm absolutely delighted to be part of this. I don't like to boast too much, but obviously I am the most famous and well-known comedian in Northern Ireland. I'm a superstar in Northern Ireland, a megastar. I don't know how you got me. Did you have to go through 10 agents and all that?
It was difficult, mate.
It was very difficult. You rang me up and says, Tim, will you do this, mate? Listen, I'm very content with my, I'm very lucky, very, very lucky man. Apparently you've interviewed my brother Philip, who'll probably tell you the background. We come from North Belfast, come from a big medical family. My dad was actually a surgeon in the Mater Hospital in Belfast. My mum was a nurse, a couple of nurses in the family, a couple of social workers in the family. And I didn't like the smell of blood or the sight of blood, so I didn't go into medicine at all. I ended up doing law at Queen's University, where I bumped into two fellas, Damon Quinn and Michael McDowell, and 30 odd years, more than 30 years later, I'm still stuck with these two buck agents as the core members of the Hole in the Wall gang. Because what happened was a guy, Damon Quinn, who is originally from Andytown, he wrote plays and sketches at school. And when we met at university, it was at the time of Live Aid and Band Aid and all that sort of stuff, and charities and the famine in Ethiopia. And we did charity shows that he started writing. He wrote sketches and stuff, and then he got us, me and Michael, roped in, and we started writing sketches and did a few charity shows for other students and then for the public to raise money for very good causes like Oxfam and Amnesty International and things like that. And then what happened weirdly was that people thought we were funny and kept coming to see us. And we thought, tell you what, see if we don't give this money to charity and we put it in our own pockets, we can make money here, we can make a living out of this. So from the late 80s to the sort of early 90s, we faffed around, and then eventually went full-time as full-time comedians from 1996. Yeah, just 25 years ago, bloody hell. Wow. So I've been a full-time comedian since 1996, but it all started because I met Damon Quinn and Michael McDowell at Queen's all those years ago.
Yeah, and I remember, and this is good back years, I got a cassette of the Hole in the Wall guy.
Aye,
yes.
That's right.
Yep, you did them. Uh-huh. And it's still lying about the house somewhere.
Tell
I'm
the young
sure.
people what a cassette is.
So you are user.
That was a cassette because we had our first radio show. We had a successful radio show on radio also called A Perforated Ulster.
That's the one. Yep.
But it's bizarrely still going 30 years later. Perforated Ulster won a big award in 1991, the best radio show in the UK, comedy show in the UK.
Wow.
And we made a cassette of the best bits of it. Yeah, bloody hell, that is going back. I appreciate that, Paul. You still have that?
I probably do, you know. And my mate bought it for me for my birthday. So it was it was cracker. Ach, no, the Hole in the Wall gang and as well, and our wee sort of mate circle go back a good wee while. As does, I suppose, our next my next wee question is Cliftonville, the Irish League football team. Now, I know you're a big Cliftonville fan. Tell us a wee bit about how you got involved in that.
Well, I got involved in that because my uncle Kevin, my dad was Philip McGarry, and he was a surgeon in the Mater Hospital. His brother, Kevin, was a GP who was an amateur footballer, but not just an amateur footballer, a bloody good amateur footballer. He played for Cliftonville, was a top goal scorer for Cliftonville with 171 goals in 10 years or whatever. He also played for Northern Ireland a few times, and he was heavily involved in Cliftonville, which were an amateur team at the time. And my dad was literally the club doctor as well, so he helped out at the club. Uncle Kevin played for the club. And then we were kind of brought there. I tell people, yeah, I used to be brought there as a punishment, because for years Clifton were at the bottom of the league. They were there was no relegation, but every single year, because they were amateurs, they always get trounced 5-0, and we were brought there, and there were 30 people in the crowd, and we ran around the ground like buck idiots as youngsters. But then sort of in the late 70s, I think, or mid to late 70s, they finally went part-time, started paying people, and crowds started appearing. So I've been stuck with Cliftonville for just my entire childhood and adult life, you know. And it's great. I mean, I love local football. I'm very proud of local football. I think more people should support it. I've still got a big family connection. My cousin is now the club doctor, and my cousin's son is now the kit man. So there's a big family connection there. But it's just great. I've two sons who are Man United fans, and I've brought them over to see Manchester United a couple of times, and you get depressed. You're on a plane in Belfast and there's about 100 people flying over to Manchester to see a football match, and you can go up the road for 12 quid and see your local team, you know. So support your local team, go and support Glenavon and Crusaders, whatever, you know. Go and support them, and you get great value for money, great crack.
It's been years, I must confess, it's been years from I've been to a Cliftonville match, and probably the last one was, I don't even think they're called it anymore, Distillery. The Waits, yes. Lisburn Distillery, that's the one.
They're still going, but I think they're in Division 12 at the minute. God love them.
But, you know, my mate's still a big Cliftonville fan. And in fact, he was at the last Cliftonville. I think it was Cliftonville Crusaders there. I think it was cancelled. Yes. But then it replayed. And he said he saw you up in the VIP box now, Tim. So you were
up on the VIP. Well, VIP, when you say a VIP box, I mean, that's because I sponsored the match, which means involves giving them money, you know, for Pepsi. And then I do free gigs for them as well. Yes. I do lunches and bits and this, that, and the other, you know. It's just to help out, because local football needs it. But I mean, again, there's great stuff like Lauren last night when they cut you out. I'm huge crowd down at Seaview there, you know, and Kenny Bruce is doing brilliant things up on Lauren. Lauren has completely transformed the ground and indeed the town, you know, so it's really good for people to, you know, I'm not the healthiest. I love football, but I was no good at it. Never could kick a ball, you know, but I did just love it, and then the atmosphere around it now. The camaraderie around it and all of that, and plus you get to be rude and insult other referees and other teams, you know, which I think is very healthy, to be honest with you. You get to be completely unreasonable at football matches and swear at people out loud, nobody minds, you know.
Very good, very good.
That's very healthy.
Yes, I think you know what Jim has said, my mate, and he said we'll get to one of the Cliftonville matches. Definitely will.
Definitely. You should.
Cliftonville and the Blues. That'd be a good one. Right, Tim. So you've already said you're not, you didn't really qualify to play football, so you weren't that good. What about your kids? Are they any good? Any Wayne Rooney's in the family?
No, I'm afraid not. My two sons, one of them played football there up until he was 18. He's just turned, he's nearly 20 now, but he played football for the South Belfast League. So I was up every Saturday watching him. And he's very nice wee footballer, but couldn't run, which was unfortunate. But he loved it. And again, it was great. He was out two nights a week training. Saturday mornings were football matches. And they're great, you know, to see the kids out and about and running. And the quality of the football was very good. And the crack was excellent, you know. And I think that's part of the fun. But I'm afraid none of them are going to make me 100 grand a week, which is very disappointing.
Way back in the day, I used to do a bit of coaching at Rosario. You remember them?
All right, good club.
Yeah. But then, sure, I left. I moved to Antrim, sure. Well, what sort of move was that?
So no, that's a mistake, mate.
So, Tim, physical and mental health. Do you do anything that you know you can share with our listeners about how you look after yourself? So, I know you're a comedian and all the rest of it, and you know, I don't know if you support Man United, but I do. But that's hard work at the minute.
No, I don't. I definitely don't support Man United. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I'm a Leeds fan, but that's just because of the age I am, you know. So I'm a Leeds United fan. I tell you what, I probably don't do as much as I should, but genuinely did, and this is without you prompting me or anything like that. I bought a bike the other day, and partly because I've been out during lockdown. I was out walking with a mate, and I was doing quite a lot of walking, which is good for you. I think it's really good. And I was out with a mate, and he had a bike, and he used to go out every morning, and for months and months, I said, I'm getting a bike, and I never got round to getting one. And then I saw it, brand new year, get a bike, get on the fucking bike and give it a go, because I'm getting a bit, I'm 57 now, so I've a bit of a beer gut and stuff, and I probably drink too much wine, and I just need to get out a wee bit more. But I mean, as far as, you know, mental health and all of that, I'm very, very lucky. I have a job that is very fulfilling. Yes. I've got loads of variety in my work, you know, so I'm not doing the same thing. I've got history shows, I've got comedy shows, I've got stand-up gigs, I've got this, that and the other, you know. I'm quite content with it, and I'm content to myself, you know, and I enjoy my own company. I'm superb company on my own. I can read a paper, do a crossword. I got into during lockdown, online chess. I used to play chess as a kid. I was never any bloody good at it, but I used to play chess as a kid, and a mate of mine was actually a really good chess player. I was in the chess club in St Malachy's, and then I took it up again during lockdown, because that great thing on Netflix, Queen's Gambit, was on, and I thought, I used to play chess, and so I do a lot of online chess. You can just start a 10-minute game with someone anywhere in the world on chess.com. You just click on and you're playing chess with somebody in Serbia or Azerbaijan or whatever, and you get a 20-minute game of chess. Wow. And I love it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's quite solitary activity, but it keeps the brain ticking over. I get quite angry when I lose, which is quite often. And then sometimes I'm brilliant and I think I'm a fucking genius, and I think, oh my god, I'm going to put myself in, I'm going to be a grandmaster here, and the next thing you realise, you've lost your 11-year-old in Chepstow in England. You go, oh, I'm an idiot. But it's good for your mental health, and I enjoy all that sort of stuff. But I suppose health wise, you know what, I got to that age as well where I thought, I need to get checked out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A few people of my generation were being seriously ill. A few people had heart attacks and this, that and the other. And I got myself checked out. I got a man that I shouldn't tell you this. I got a man to stick his finger up my backside.
Yes.
I said, are you all right with this? And I go, oh yeah, let's do it. Let's get it. And I go, all right, okay. Well, that's a bit of a weird way to spend a Wednesday morning, but you know, it's quite important.
It is.
Because the kind of relief you go, do you know what, Jesus? I probably drink too much wine. I have the odd wee fag now and again, which I'm not allowed supposed to say, but and I just got to get myself checked out. And I got my heart and my blood's taken and all of that, and got the prostate and everything, and the blood's taken. And the relief you feel when you go, and they all comes back and says, no, you're positive and you're great and all of that. And the doctor says, look, cut down on the drinking a wee bit and knock them fags in the head. But apart from that, you're fine. You know, the relief you get from that is amazing. You know, it just gets you. And I know men are quite bad at doing this, you know, and getting themselves checked out. But, you know, it actually gives you a wee spurt as well to go. And that's part of the reason why I got the bike as well. Going, yes, I must do that. I must get on and do that. And we are quite bad at looking after ourselves, you know. And as I say, when you get to my age, I'm 57 now, and you start to hear of people, you know, with more heart attacks than they need and all that sort of stuff, and people even passing away. You go, all right, okay. You know, this is it, Tim.
And that's why we want you on, because others will know that, you know, has to go to the doctors to get himself sorted out, you know. So. That's a good message to get out, without a doubt.
Well, genuinely, I remember doing a gig a few years ago in City Hall, and the whole thing was that the men won't go to the bloody doctors. And I understand. Yeah. I do know why. I understand them. Mm-hmm. And I fully understand. But, you know, just take the leap and ring them up. And I know they're snowed under at the moment. But at the same time, you know, get yourself checked out, you know, get the peace of mind that you get, and also that wee incentive to go, you know, look after yourself slightly more and go. And it's all very basic stuff, you know. I don't, you know, people get very complicated about weight and all that. Don't eat too much, don't drink too much, do a bit of exercise, get out and about now and again, you know, and that's the kind of the height of it. So even going to a football match at Cliftonville, you know, you're out and about, it's sociable, you're meeting people. I'm not very active, but you're standing maybe for an hour and a half, you know, you're chatting to people. It's good for the mental health, except when Cliftonville lose, which gets me very bloody angry and annoyed. You know, I feel like I have to kick things.
No, you're absolutely right. We are a social animal, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, and you know, loneliness is a big issue in our society. So, as you're absolutely right, getting out with your mates.
Yeah.
And if it is the Cliftonville, well, happy days.
Absolutely. Or even just one mate, as I say, during lockdown, I had a mate around the corner when we went regularly for sort of, you know, 2 or 3 hour long walks just around the streets of North Belfast.
Yeah.
You know, it's great ages to get out, get a bit of air about you, and you just feel better when you come back and you sit on the sofa and go, at least I've done something today, you know.
Well, I mean, North Belfast has the Waterworks Park run every Saturday at 9:30. And and in fact, it's a park walk as well. So if guys want to walk it, they can walk it. And you never come last because there's always a tail walker. There's always a tail walker who will always come in behind the last person. So
the waterworks is great. There's huge numbers of people there. Same with the Belfast Castle as well. If you just go up there and get a dander around the castle, there's all sorts of different walks. You don't have to go to the top of Cave Hill or whatever. I do that occasionally. Not as much as I should, actually, but I'd have to get up to the top of Cave Hill. Now, there is a problem. If you go up the top of Cave Hill, there's a strong chance you will bump into Diego Kane, and I will warn people that is a possibility. But, you know, if you just ignore him, you'll probably get away with it. You know, just if you see him from a distance, you know, people will warn you and they're going, watch out, there's an O'Kane here there.
My name's O'Kane, but I've nothing to do with Jake.
All right,
you're on there. No, there's no connection, Tim. On my wee list here, Tim, I had dream jobs, but I guess you've already said it. You're in your dream job, are you?
Well,
or if I was to give you a million pounds, I mean, what would it be? If I was to give you £1 million, what would you love to do?
Well, do you know what? I would always like to have been good at football. I'd love to have been centre forward. I occasionally still dream of scoring the winning goal in the Irish Cup, which is so pathetic. If I'm 57, you go, oh, geez, you bucket. But the thing about my job now is there's huge variety, but there are bits of it that are just brilliant. I do a history show with a guy called David Hume, who's a member of the Orange Order, and I come from a vaguely nationalist background, but I'm atheist though, but. We come from history from very different perspectives, and it's the best gig in the world. We go around, have an argument, talk to historians, and we get paid for it. And it literally is the dream job. And sometimes I feel I'm going, go right, not to send me a check every now and again. Look, I'm having so much fun. What are you talking about? The comedy side of it can be. There's a lot of work in the background. There's a lot of getting. You know, there's a lot of tedious stuff. There's a lot of admin. There's a lot of selling yourself. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in comedy. So it's not the dream job, but the bits of it are absolutely wonderful. Performing in this, something like the Opera House, is just wonderful. I suppose if you give me £1 million, I said, what's the ideal job? I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty content as it is, you know, which is a nice way to be, you know.
I've got just another wee thing. You nipped in about being an atheist or a humanist. I see that you're the patron or something of the British Humanists Association.
It's the Northern Ireland Humanists. Yeah, it's basically when they say they make you patron, which sounds very like it's an honour, but basically that's how you do free gigs for them. You know,
very good.
You'd work for nothing, won't you? Aye, okay, stick your name down. Congratulations, your patron is. He'd be appearing for nothing, man. I'd always been very, very irreligious and very proud to be. Surprisingly, we had a bit of an online conference there. I think the Northern Ireland Humanists have been doing, been going about 5 years, and we're actually the fastest growing part of the UK is the Humanists in Northern Ireland. You know, and I think partly because of our troubled past, people are getting a bit fed up with religion, so we say and saying alternative views. And I've always been a bit of an old skeptic, and even from my youth, I kind of give up religion. So this was a natural home. As I say, it's sometimes a bit dangerous coming out as an atheist in Northern Ireland. You think, oh no, are people going to think wrong of you or whatever? And people are very, very strongly held views on religion, you know. And bottom line is, I've tickets to sell as well here, Paul. You know, don't really annoy people. But genuinely, I respect people. Genuinely respect religious people. And the thing about atheists, I find is we're more obsessed with religion than people who claim to be religious. So I like talking to priests and vicars and, you know, Jewish people and Muslims. I love talking about, well, why do you believe that and how do you believe that and stuff like that. And I more respect them maybe than some other people, even in their own religion. I am a Catholic, but I'm not really a Catholic. I don't go to Mass or anything, but I'm a Catholic. Well, I go, yes, no, I'm definitely an atheist, but I want to talk to you about why you believe these and how you can believe this and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Do you meet every month or?
They used to have they have a sort of a brunch where anybody's invited. They have kind of we have a yearly gig where we kind of get everybody together. We have talks. We have online talks. In fact, the UK Humanist Conference is normally a 3-day thing. It's actually been held in Belfast this year in June.
Excellent.
So I did the one in Leicester a couple of years ago before lockdown. Yeah. There was a 3-day conference, and it's great. And we just talk about about, you know, all sorts of issues and human rights and, you know, religion and science and all of that. And it's a 3-day conference, so it's happening in Belfast this year, which I'm delighted about. And as I say, this is the fastest growing area of humanism in the UK. So it's something a bit different, you know.
Yeah. Right, Tim, we are coming close to the end. That's gone in a heartbeat. Tell the guys, anybody listening to our wee podcast, how can we find you, or where can we find you?
Where can they find me?
Yes, as in, you know, have you got gigs coming up, or
that sort of stuff? Yeah, we'll give them a hit piece. Our sitcom is on. It's on Friday night. There's two more episodes on TV. We're on tour in with Give Me a Hit Piece all of March. We're all over Northern Ireland, from everywhere from Strabane to Larne to Derry to Armagh and everywhere in between. We have a week in the Opera House at the end of March. Okay. So that's a full 26 shows. We're all over the place. I'm on Twitter. If you follow Twitter, I'm Tim McGarry. To just look up Tim McGarry, it'll come up. There's an American guy and a I'm not that guy. There's another one comes up making sarcastic. He doesn't make jokes about Jim Allister or the Alliance Party, whereas I do. So basically, yes. Don't be following the American guy. He's no use to you. And, you know, and I'm doing more of the long and the short of it history show with David Hume. That will be out about April time. And then we do another show on the radio called The Perfect Ulcer, which is still on the radio. And we're hoping to be back, I think, about May, June time. So I'm very lucky, Paul. I know this is a freelance business, you know, and to keep busy, you know, is just, you know, I've loads of wee gigs and corporate things that are happening as well. So I'm very, very lucky. And I never take that for granted, you know, because it's a business where you fall out of favour very quickly and things can go. So, but I'm grateful, you know. Yeah. So,
well, Tim, you've been very kind to us, and thank you. And your support for men and men's health in Belfast, particular, has been top drawer.
Can I give you one last piece of advice? One very last piece of it. If you get a chance, get a man to stick his finger up your backside.
Yeah, I will do. That's we're keeping that in, Brad. Yep. Okay.
Listen, love you to talk to you.
And Tim, thank you. Thanks very much.
Good luck, mate.
Thank you. All the best.